thank you all for tuning into another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Nikon.
As usual, I'm Max.
I'm Nikki.
And I am Nikon.
And together we're Max, Nikki, and Nikon.
Sorry, I ruined that timing.
It always sounds like doing. Some kind of like kindergarten class, like trying to, like a teacher getting their kindergartners to do something together, you know?
Yeah. One of these days.
Well, Nikon, we had quite a exciting past few days for you, huh?
That's right. I'm an uncle. For the first
You're an
time.
Uncle for the first time.
Is an yeah. uncle for the
congratulations,
first time.
Congratulations, and congratulations to our dear friend, Katayun Hamati.
And Danny.
Yeah.
And Danny, her husband.
Yep.
On their first child.
First child. I'm going out on Tuesday to go meet him.
Oh, that's fun.
So, yeah.
Man, the pictures you sent me were so adorable, though, you know?
Yeah, he's a little cutie.
Kat also, she sent me a picture, too.
Nice.
Yeah, very, very cute. And, you know, there's a present that we sent that should be arriving very soon, that I think, to their household. So,
all right. Well, I'm not going to ask what it is because I don't want to ruin the surprise for her because I know she's watching live.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, after just having a baby,
give the baby a...
She better be watching live, you know.
Give
that's
the baby,
the prime, that is the priority here. That
give the baby, you know, some, you know, an understanding early on of what good debate is,
or or also an understanding
or
of what
bad debate,
yeah, or an understanding of what soothing voices sound like.
But yeah, welcome to the Uncle Club. You know, it's
welcome to the Uncle Club.
Thanks.
You know, I know Nikon said texted me yesterday and said, you know, it hasn't really hit me yet. And I told him, it won't hit you really until you hold the baby in your hands or arms for the first time.
And you said, and that's when you fall in love. And a little tear dropped from my eye.
Really?
Because there was something in your eye. You were just...
Because, yes.
There was some debris.
At the same time.
Well, speaking of eyes, though,
there is
by the way,
there is something about it when you're holding the baby. It's just like you're like this is my blood, you know,
blood of my blood. To quote Game of Thrones.
I was going to quote DMX: "Flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood."
Oh, is that? Wait, is DMX also do? Oh, you make me lose my mind.
Of course. That's like his biggest.
I know. I'm just trying to remember my middle school days riding the bus. You know, anyway.
Not his best song, but yeah, definitely up there in famousness. Rest in peace, DMX.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, as we get into it.
Wait, hold on. I just want to mention eyes. You were mentioning, you know, some, you know, tears from your eyes, and I mentioned debris in your eyes. I was just reading an article about LASIK surgery and how the quoted percentages of sick, like just satisfaction rates are actually lower than they quote as satisfaction with LASIK surgery. This article was about a woman who got LASIK surgery and there was some debris left behind her cornea, and she had to quit her job that had to do with being able to focus more clearly on things, and she gets headaches, migraines, and she said,
but isn't it done by lasers? Like, how do you get debris? There's nothing to artifact.
No, they have to peel back the first layer of your eye.
Is that so?
Yeah, I don't even like hearing about it because it kind of freaks me out.
Well, but
a little
bit. You guys are
glasses wearers, right?
I wear contacts. Yeah,
I wear glasses when I drive or watch a movie. But
gotcha.
I'm like right on the cusp where I don't actually, you know, when I renewed my license, they said, "Well, we can put that you need corrective vision or not. It's up to you." And I was like, "Well, say I don't, just in case I don't forget my glasses, you know, when I'm driving." But in any event, I still always wear my glasses when I drive anyway. But so I'm on the cusp, though. But in any event, it was just kind of a scary thought that this woman was, yeah, there's this debris that is causing her sometimes double vision, and just, I don't know. It just seemed, I don't know.
Sounds not great.
You were taking a chance, I guess. But I know other people that have gotten LASIK surgery, and they swear by it. So I don't know.
Yeah, most people I know have been okay.
Yeah.
Station business, Max.
Bum-ba-dum, station business.
Any station business, guys?
Well,
guess the next Vintage Basement with Max and Nikki again is on Saturday, May 13th or 12th. It's a Saturday. And
I think
it is
13th.
In Brooklyn at 7 p.m.
Or maybe 12.
And we will start promoting that in maybe a week or so.
Something I also wanted to mention was Nikki and I did a little write-up recently for a current play at Playwrights Horizons.
Which is on Off-Broadway.
So called Regretfully So the Birds Are. It's a kind of, it's not your typical write-up. We kind of used a sort of late-night talk show format in written-out form to kind of invite the play on to our late-night talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested in taking a look at some of our writing, it's based on this play, or just in discussing this play. We think it's pretty fun and hopefully kind of funny too. You can check it out on the Playwrights Horizons website.
Uh-huh.
I think if you just Google in Max and Nikki Weinbach Almanac is their monthly magazine that they release, but it's also digitally released. And Almanac or Playwrights Horizons or something like that. And
right.
You'll find our article. It's titled Late Night Talk Show.
I will say that initially Max and I had an opening and closing to this piece that was even more absurd than what you're going to see, but they thought it was a little too confusing. We didn't, but so we had to take that out. But
in any event, check it out. It should be fun, and it's based on this play, or it's talking about a play called
Regretfully
So the Birds Are, which is currently being shown at Playwrights Horizons.
Mm-hmm. All right, and so this is like a, when you say it's a write-up, is like an analysis of it?
Kind of an analysis,
yeah.
Okay. But... Sorry, I just dropped something.
Analysis, musings.
Sorry, it's Playwrights. It's a co-production, by the way, by Playwrights Horizons and WP Theater.
Yeah.
And it's by, I just want to remember, sorry, Julia Izumi. Sorry. Just feel like I should mention the writer of the play.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Nikon, anything?
No, nothing new from me. Just,
Onus Haptics.
Yeah, Onus Optics, of course. OnusOptics.com. Go protect your nose from the sun.
And your eyes.
And, well, yes, of course, your eyes. That's almost a given at this point.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I'll be in San Francisco for a week. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you guys ready for Grammar Corner?
Yeah, sure.
Grammar Corner. I've got something.
You do.
I do.
You know, before this podcast started, I asked Nikki, do you have anything for Grammar Corner? He's like, I don't know. Well, I guess he found something.
I got something.
All right. Let's hear it.
Now, this may make me come across as pretentious or snobby.
In case he hasn't already come off that
for
way.
For the first time ever.
But hey, it'll be good for the baby if they're listening.
Yes.
Learn some grammar lessons. So, sometimes I'm reading a paper or something, and somebody will use the passive voice and the active voice within the same essay or article.
Oh, I mean, that's just bad grammar.
That really bugs me.
That's not even bad. That's not even bad grammar. That's just bad... Is it grammar? I guess it's just
it's
bad
continuity. Actually, is
bad.
What it is.
Bad. Yeah.
If you're gonna write in
bad
a certain
babysitting.
If you want to
give us an example.
So if for those of you who are not familiar with what passive voice and active voice is,
you need look no further than Richard Nixon's famous speech that he gave to the American public when he said, mistakes were made.
Yeah, instead of I made mistakes, he said mistakes were made. Now, in that context, he's trying to lessen the
culpability.
The guilt, the guilt on him or the culpability, yeah.
That's right, Gemma. Yes, Grammar Corner is meant to be pretentious. That's why it is funny. That is
exactly
true. But we are...
It's really...
And we are expressing real gripes we have, I guess, sometimes.
Oh, they're real gripes.
I would say that even though in an English class in college or literature class, they'll urge you to use the active voice always. I don't even have a problem with passive voice.
I think that's not a good thing because it makes you have to choose something that they're stylistically imposing
Max,
upon
can I
you?
Finish?
Sorry, go ahead.
But I think that if you're going to... I'm okay with passive voice, but you got to stick with it. You can't switch between passive and active voice because it breeds this inconsistency when you're reading, and it kind of makes things a little confusing actually when you're reading.
I need
so
to hear
the
an
active
example.
Voice would be
hear how
I made
infuriating
mistakes.
It can be.
What's that?
He wants to hear
an
example.
Let's hear an example.
Gosh, an example. I just remember reading somebody, you know, when you're in college and you're grading each other's essays before when you're revising
before
them.
The professor actually grades it.
And I remember reading somebody's before, and well, first off, I was reading this guy's essay, and I just thought, how did you get into UC Berkeley? Really, ooh, a poor writer, but
was it a general
class?
Maybe he's an engineer.
You must be good at math and science because
you
are not
an engineer.
But he was his essay was riddled with inconsistent, style of writing. And I think that's an important thing when you're a writer.
Maybe he was
you
the riddler.
God, I'm a bad writer. I can't even think of words. You want to establish your voice early on, and part of that is choosing an active voice or the passive.
Well,
voice.
What if your choice, the voice that you are establishing early on, is confused about what? Maybe that's part of the style that you have is vacillating between active and passive.
Sort of a
because you're
William Faulkner kind of
you're being active in the things that you're certain about, but you're being passive about the ones that maybe I actually am going to disagree on this actually now. This is going to be a little mini.
I want an example still. And you're talking about within one sentence, right? Or what are you saying?
No, I'm talking about within one, even in an essay, in a whole article.
Sure, yeah.
But I guess it's acceptable if there's an intention.
Because I think it depends on context. That's why I need to hear an example. Because it's like, if you're, it depends on.
So if you're writing about, say, the Golden State Warriors, you would say,
yes. Come on.
Stephen Curry won the game for the Warriors. That would be the active voice. But the passive voice would be the game was won by Stephen Curry.
I get the difference between active and passive.
No, but he understands, but
saying,
he's saying
no,
an
no,
example.
What I'm
when
saying
it,
is in that case, for example, you're diminishing Stephen Curry's contribution to the game by using the passive voice because he's not an active participant, so to speak,
that.
In the game.
I get that.
He understands, but he's saying an example.
So you would say the Stephen Curry won the game for the Warriors, and as a result, the tournament
was succeeded by the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, this is obviously like an extreme example, but I'm trying to think of like a perfect example.
Because you're talking about two agents, two subjects.
Well, that was a bad example.
Not really, actually. I mean, I don't know. I think that's a little weird, actually, to be honest, because you're not... In that scenario, I do have a problem with that, actually, because there's something inconsistent about your writing. A scenario where I feel like it would be okay is if it kind of had to do... If you're injecting your own kind of self within the context of the writing or something like that, you know, then I feel like you're... Then it's okay. But something that's sort of factual like that, where the tournament was won by the Golden State Warriors because because Stephen Curry scored many baskets for his team.
Right. Max, that's a good example.
You know, it's, yeah. There's something
in that case, there's something imbalanced.
You're making it clunkier than it needs to be.
And in essence, in that particular example, Max, I think you should try to avoid the passive voice at all costs. I think because if you were consistent with just using the passive voice, the Golden State or the game was won by the Golden State Warriors because many points were scored by Stephen Curry. Yeah. That sounds weird, as opposed to the Golden State Warriors won the game because Stephen Curry scored a lot of baskets. I mean, that is simpler. It's not as clunky as Max said, and it in turn actually sounds less pretentious. You know, I think using the passive voice makes you sound a little more pretentious. For those of you just tuning in, this is Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Econ, our weekly podcast.
And we split hairs over everything.
Yes. And right now we're splitting hairs over grammar, which is a segment that we have usually. It's called the Grammar Corner. Yeah. Anyway, do you understand, Nikon, how the...
I understand. I'm not like so.
No. But do you understand why I would get annoyed in that certain situation?
No. I do in theory, but I just... I think by using a fake example, we're not really getting the best. I don't know. Sure. I want to know what the paragraph was that really pissed you off. That's what I'm trying to get to.
It's not one particular thing. It's something that I've noticed in general.
Okay.
Because Nikki's grading a lot of papers.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, next time, bring some papers from past.
I'm sorry,
past.
I can't come up with like a specific example that I've come across, but you know,
Max is a little hardcore. Okay.
Max, let's not pay attention too much.
Well, because they were talking about Greece, and I do want to mention that Nikki and I did go last week to a karaoke. It was a birthday, and guess what? I told Nikki and a friend, I was like, I'm going to choose something everybody's going to be down with. Because sometimes people choose songs that don't get the whole group actively involved. And I chose something that I was like, all right, I'm going to choose Summer Nights, the Grease song from Grease, Summer Nights. And everybody was into it.
No, Max.
Everybody loved it.
Max, I chose something that everybody was involved in, and that was Phantom of the Opera. Because Phantom of the Opera, for those of you who don't know, it just closed on Broadway last Sunday. It's the longest running Broadway show of all time, and it finally closed. And everybody was involved in the singing along of that. That was really fun.
Me too.
Hey, it's not a competition, guys. You both got people singing. That's fantastic. Who went first is the question. Because like you basically rode the coattails of the other person.
Nikki won first. So.
Well, what do you mean I rode the coattail? No, I didn't. It was a very significant gap between our two songs.
But I will say
there were a lot more people.
So you can see it as... Yeah. Well, anyway, go on.
This Grammar Corner, I'm sorry I couldn't come up with a more specific example that actually I came across. But just know, hey, if you're starting with a particular voice in an article, finished with that particular voice. And I would say throughout the whole article.
Well, okay, unless there's a specific intention between you, there's a specific intention as to why you're switching the kind of voice you're doing.
It's too vague. I mean, there's always exceptions. There's always like a little bit of like, maybe there's a little bit of artistry to switching it around or something.
That's what I'm saying. But I think in general, when you're writing something that's, you know, it's like a current event article or something like that, you're not necessarily going for the utmost stylistic integrity or something like that.
Then
I would say stick with the voice, because then it gets confusing to the reader, maybe, you know?
Right.
I can live with that. I can live with that.
Any other Grammar Corner?
I just want to go back to how annoying it is when Brits and Australians and whatnot refer to a singular entity that has multiple people inside of it as a plural. So Apple, the company, right? They would say Apple have made 10,000 whatever iPhones in the last days.
Do they do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about it.
Apple have. Instead of Apple just, the entity
that.
Has.
That's just incorrect. It's incorrect.
No, but it's like, it's literally how those entire nations do it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it either.
Now that's
a
good. That's a good specific example, and
thank you.
Boy, that grinds my gears.
Mine too, man. All right. Well, we only have a little bit of time on the Zoom. Do we want to?
So,
well,
talk about
I would
topics?
Say when it. Yeah, let's talk about a topic here.
Okay.
So we had a couple of topics in mind, guys. For
Nikon,
our main topic.
The way you look right now, you kind of seem sort of. Early to mid 90s hip hop, kind of.
Oh, you think? Huh.
Well, you got this thing that's kind of tied on your.
Oh,
head
with
right
the bandana. Yeah.
That's what I'm
Tupac
talking about.
Thing. Yeah, that was a Tupac thing for sure.
Well, I mean, Tupac and a lot of other guys too, but.
No, but Tupac is.
I mean, I'm. The image that comes to mind for me from a personal standpoint is Tales from the Hood, the movie from the.
Ah.
Mid-90s,
right?
I think.
Well, yeah.
I think that is imagery that is consistent with that film.
Let's find out.
Well, but yes, Tupac
right, so let's,
did do that too.
Yeah, who do
you know,
we think?
Let's just switch Zoom.
What do we think? Yeah.
Our Zoom sessions right now.
No, I think let's.
Or just play it out.
I should say not just hip hop, but also you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
A whole community at large, you know,
yeah,
that was a popular stylistic choice. And anyway, probably meant other things too, you know, I come to think
sure.
of it.
Okay.
So there was other reasons for it.
The topics that we have in mind for today, for our today's larger debate, are best decade for film. That's
yep.
one. And then what was the other one?
Well, there's the appropriation one.
There is the appropriation one.
For the
we'll
pros and cons of appropriation, let's call it.
Okay. Sure, but well,
there's the traveling one. How traveling.
Traveling.
We all kind of agree that traveling has its challenges, but I think it would be interesting if one of us just chose.
Well,
the
I can easily debate for traveling too, but we'll ruminate on that for a minute as we change our Zoom.
You know, I was relaying to the Instagram audience how I had pretended I was a member of the press when I went to the Cannes Film Festival so I could get free passes to see the movies. It mostly didn't
work,
actually.
How did you pretend?
My dad,
other than lying.
Actually, my dad was a journalism major when he was in college.
Oh.
And
okay.
I don't know what he did, but he wrote me a letter saying I worked for his sort of fake company, I guess, and it got me a badge to get into the Palais, which is where people hang out when they're not watching a movie. But
that's pretty
how
rad.
Did I get a ticket, you
so
ask?
You got some...
Well, I got a ticket because there would be these people that would just show up in front of the Palais.
Palace is what that stands for.
And it wasn't. It's not an actual palace, though.
But I know, but that's what
they would show up in the middle, in front of the Palais, and they would have a bunch of tickets to go see these movies, and they would just start passing them out for free to everybody.
Well,
and
so I'm that's like, why it's oversold.
Yeah, right. That's the whole point. But I do want to say, we're choppy again, I guess, apparently. Out of curiosity.
You're fine now, but it's just every once in a while it gets choppy.
Right.
For like a second or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Nikon, am I choppy? Max, that is?
Like I said, it's only for a couple seconds, and I'm not really paying attention.
Oh, okay,
it's
gotcha. Like, all right. Well, let's just keep going. If it's choppy, it's choppy. That's just how it goes.
All right, so on to the...
That was choppy right there. That's choppy. You just chopped up.
Yeah, you chopped up just now, Nikki. You chopped up big time right there. Actually, you're frozen now, Nikki.
No, I'm not.
Oh. Well, yeah, you're choppy big time
right now.
Oh, gosh.
But it's okay. All right, let's get it out.
Well, what's up with that? That's weird.
Well, you guys will just have to deal with the choppiness, unfortunately.
Who's your provider? Yeah, I guess so.
Optimum is our provider.
And if you want to watch the video in a non-choppy way, wait till we post it on YouTube. So, main topic.
Okay, let's get down to the movie decades.
Movie decades.
Cammy already proposed the 80s, but we're all
going to do a sort of free-for-all on this one.
There won't be a moderator for this one.
Yeah, All right.
So, I'll start. I think the 70s are the best decade for film, without a doubt. I mean, you got major studios.
Are you
studios.
Doing your opening argument right now? Just say the thing.
The 70s.
I'm going to go with the 90s, and it's just because I have a specific perspective on things.
So, Nikki thinks the 70s are the best decade for film. Nikon thinks the 90s are. And Max, what does Max think? Boy, it's kind of hard to say. In theory, I would say Nikki's right, 70s are the best. But some of my favorite movies are from the 80s and first half of the 90s, for sure. And I do think there are certain things about the latter half of the 90s where film started to get bad for many reasons, or at least Hollywood film. But there could be, once in a while, some gems in there. We'll save examples for later, but...
So pick a damn decade.
Well, for the sake of argument, let's just say for the sake of argument, even though I don't really feel this way, I'll choose the 80s.
Okay. And tuning in, this is the Splitting 70s, Hairs 80s, with Max 90s. Nikki Nikon podcast.
Right.
And today we're debating the best decade
for film.
What
about the 60s, though? What about the 60s?
Oh, hey, I could have easily picked the 60s, actually.
I mean, shucks. Should I choose the 60s? No, we'll stick with the 80s. We'll stick with the 80s.
Okay, so basically it's 70s for Nikki. Nikon is 90s. Max is the 80s. Okay.
And we'll chime in with some other decades in there as well.
We'll see. Don't make any promises.
Well, so, I'm definitely going to talk about some others.
The reason why I think that the 70s is the best decade for film is Hollywood, even the major Hollywood production companies were backing these almost independent style movies and a lot of character study films. There was a lot of character study films going on in the 70s and Five Easy Pieces.
But a lot of them haven't aged well.
What's that?
A lot of them haven't aged well. A lot of them are just boring.
I would say The Last Picture Show. You would never see a Hollywood production company, a major Hollywood production company, back that kind of film today. And that is one of the best movies of all time.
Is that a good thing?
Last Picture Show by Peter Bogdanovich.
I do want to give a little bit of history here. And this already started happening in the 60s, but there was something called the Hays Code, which was in place in Hollywood from about the early 30s to till the 60s. And in the 60s, and even in the late 50s, at least some directors like, who directed, you know, the Jimmy Stewart film with the lawyer film.
Oh, Otto Preminger.
Otto Preminger. Yeah, but what's
the Anatomy film? Of a Murder? Anatomy is of what Murder. Max is referring to.
He started instilling into his movie. He started putting into his movies subject matters that were considered maybe taboo at the time. I mean,
but
that,
were maybe that, topical or sort you know, socially
that,
aware.
That film is talking about rape and the also the lawyer. You know, Jimmy Stewart plays this kind of morally ambiguous character. Some directors started injecting into their films some subject matter that was considered taboo. But in the 70s in particular, you started seeing a lot of directors saying, no, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to abide by this stupid code anymore. And they started adding nudity into their films. They started adding bad, foul language. Well, they started adding subject matter that was more intense and maybe risque. And for that reason, maybe that's why Nicky thinks the 70s are better, because you didn't have these limitations imposed upon you.
There
anymore.
Was a lot more freedom.
No. I just want to give a little bit of history here. Now,
Max, I didn't finish though.
Okay, go ahead.
That's the point though. The 70s was the decade for film where directors had complete control over their films for the most part, and there was no inhibitions for where they could take their films. Even a film like Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, which is Scorsese's first Hollywood production, that is still a kind of a masterpiece film, and it's you can separate a big Hollywood production film like E.T. and that kind of film. That kind of film is a character study. And there was more risks being taken because there were a lot more new voices in film like that were pushing the envelope, pushing the boundaries of what film could be. It was more experimental.
Well, and then,
I mean, even in the mid to late 60s, like Blow Up by Antonioni, that was more experimental.
Is this your opening argument? You're just rambling on about everything now.
All right. Sorry. That's my opening. I'm done.
Okay.
70s.
But just to...
70s.
I do want to say, even though I am arguing for the 80s on this, to give a little bit more history here, production studios started investing money into these directors, New Hollywood is what they called it, New Hollywood directors. And then at the late 90s, in the late 70s, they began to see sort of excesses from these directors. And a good example of that was, it's Heaven's Gate, is that what it's called? The movie, Nicky? The kind of notorious film by the same...
It's the same director
as The Deer Hunter, which had won the Best Picture for the year it came out. And so the production studios were like, okay, let's give him a good amount of money.
Michael Cimino, or Cimino,
right,
by the way.
And then the film Heaven's Gate was a big box office failure. And that was just one film, but a notorious example of Hollywood saying, okay, we got to take back some control here from the directors. And so they enforce more limitations, and the producers started taking over somewhat of the artistic visions of the films.
There were these blockbuster films that started gaining traction, like Jaws and the Star Wars movies were played heavily into the production studio's favor, actually. Anyway, Max, you didn't explain why you like the 80s.
Okay, but anyway, let me just say the 80s. But here's the thing about the 80s. We're talking strictly about Hollywood, though. And in the 80s, you started to get these really what I feel like modern era independent film started to grow because of the 80s, where you had Jim Jarmusch and...
The Coen Brothers.
The Coen Brothers and...
Spike Lee.
Spike Lee. They all started thinking, well, we don't need Hollywood actually to make our films. Let's just do it ourselves. And you kind of had this DIY kind of mentality that created some really awesome films that really were...
And my argument for the 90s is that's when that really hit its stride.
Sure.
You had Paul Thomas Anderson coming onto the scene, Tarantino coming onto the scene.
Sure. Richard Linklater.
All of these. And then also speaking to the directors from the 70s and everything that you already mentioned, they were truly becoming Goodfellas was like, that was 1990. I'm looking at websites for some supporting information because I'm not an encyclopedia like you guys. But here's the thing. The main reason I've chosen the 90s is because this is my curmudgeonly corner now. I hate this whole kind of like ranking decades and here are five movies that I like from this.
Nikon, 1994 is one of the best best years for film. I mean, if you look at the best picture nominees, it was Pulp Fiction, Forrest Gump, Quiz Show, and The Shawshank Redemption were all nominated that year. All of those really great
also
movies.
Four Weddings and a Funeral,
which is as good. But those
you guys
four films,
you really are encyclopedic about this stuff.
Could you imagine?
Well, the funeral part, though, I think is the best part
also,
of that movie.
Anyway. That same year, The Hudsucker Proxy came out, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, which is by the Coen brothers. But go on.
Yes, I do want to... Cammy's talking about John Hughes.
Oh, I didn't finish the thought, though. I think these things are stupid and annoying, and I hate them, but I'm doing it because it's whatever. It's fun.
I agree. No, Nikon.
But let me finish the thought. But I've chosen the 90s.
Stop interrupting Nikon.
I thought that was the end of your thought. I thought that was the end.
I've chosen the 90s because as arbitrary as all of this, you know, ranking decades and all that kind of stuff, like, every decade is going to have its great movies, and every decade is going to be very embarrassing and doesn't age well. Like, it's going to have movies that are embarrassing and don't age well. But the 90s are the decade where we really, you know, came online, like from a mental standpoint.
America Online.
Yeah, well, yes, there's that too. But like, it's like when we started to figure out like what the world was about and who we were as people. And I think that I think it's pretty common for that decade for whoever you're talking about, for that decade to be their favorite decade for media in general, movies, music.
I don't know if that's, I can quibble with that.
With the caveat that if that's what you grew up with.
Because
because like I have a sense that you guys grew up with more like, you know, more of a family where you were watching like older movies.
Well, here's the thing.
No, but we did grow up with a lot of movies from the 90s and 80s. I mean, look, I was just rewatching clips from the movie Hook the other day, and look,
it's a phenomenal movie.
It's really good aside from Julia Roberts' part in But there's a lot of great things in that movie, and Steven Spielberg has gone on record saying that he doesn't like the movie and that he wishes
he
wishes he did it all with CGI. Digitally.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
How out of touch
he
is.
How you replace
it's
Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman.
But look,
Dustin Hoffman
it's
is
what
Hook.
I say.
Bob Hoskins as
Smee? It's insane in the membranous region, is what I say. It is insane in the membranous region.
He said he would make Neverland all digital, but I'm thinking...
No!
The sets were great!
You gotta stop interrupting.
Nikki, you talk so much, actually.
Are you?
It's insane. Oh, that's insane.
Okay, all right.
Actually, Max...
Go on about Hook.
But yeah, the sets, the man-made sets are really part of the charm, actually. Of the
like the track that they take the
love it.
So much fun. So much fun.
Even the ship, Hook's pirate ship is really cool.
Also, I must give her props because it's one of the best cameos in all of film. Glenn Close plays a pirate that you wouldn't know it's Glenn Close unless you looked at the credits, but she plays what's known as the Boo Box Pirate.
Not the Boo Box.
Yeah.
No, not the boo box.
The boo box.
Mr. Smee, the boo box.
Yes.
Don't you dare try to stop me this time.
But
who
which one of you doubted me? One of you doubted me.
Was it you?
It was you.
Yes, you.
This
and then
what,
he starts walking
is...
down the steps, and then he's like, Smee, where's the carpet, Smee? And he's like, oh, sorry, sir. And he stomps in the carpet. The red carpet flows.
It's a brilliant movie. It's hilarious.
But it's not just funny. There's a lot of like... really touching moments in it that maybe some people might view as saccharine, but I like it. I mean,
And it treats Captain Hook as like this real dude who's like, he has no inspiration left anymore because he's lost his greatest rival, you know, and there's nothing right. left
he's,
for
he's
him
right.
to
that's,
live
he's
for.
That's multifaceted. He's multidimensional.
That's
very,
that's yeah. an interesting, you know, an interesting thing that lack for lack
it's
of
like an interesting angle on a villain.
It's an interesting angle, thank you, on a Hook. Yeah.
To the point where he's not even a villain. He's like, okay, he's technically the bad guy, but like, I don't know,
he's only the villain when he's what makes his life necessary is having Peter Pan there, which is interesting.
Well, yeah. And it makes it all the more poignant when Peter Pan's daughter, or Peter Banning, as he's known in the movie, his daughter starts singing the song "When You're All Alone." It's very good song.
Oh, by the way, the reason for that song.
That's a tearjerker song right there.
Go ahead, Nikki, if you want to describe why that song
so
is in there.
Hook was actually intended originally to be a musical, and John Williams wrote a lot of songs for it, but for some reason they scrapped that idea, but they decided to keep one song in, which is the song that his daughter sings. It goes, "When you're all alone."
When you're alone,
not alone. No, that's the end, refrain. Oh, okay.
Angels
he's talking
sing
about
when you're alone.
Which also sounds very similar to Star Wars. Da, 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 da. Anyway, that's kind of sounds like Star Wars. John Williams, composer.
The theme, there's like a Hook theme where it's like a march type of thing.
Nikki and I know this.
It's like,
yeah, it's really good.
My brain.
It's really good. And
John Williams is he's a master.
He knows what he's doing. That guy knows what he's doing.
There's a song.
Wait, hold on, Max. I wanted to say something about that song, "When You're Alone." The scene when she sings it, it's so quiet except for her singing. And you see even Hook get touched by the lyrics of that song. When you're all alone, it's kind of hitting him in
of course.
The idea that he's all alone, really, you know?
And so is Jack, and so is Peter. Everybody's alone right now.
It's great.
It's great.
Anyway, sorry, we went off on this tangent, but hey,
and this is again my problem with this type of thing, where it's like, what are we just going to spend the next hour like talking about different movies we like? I don't know.
Well,
like,
I guess you're right. Well, it is kind of ridiculous. The Hollywood Reporter came out with their best movies of this of the 2000 of the millennium, the new millennium.
Yeah,
and there's so many. It just. And then just that list all of itself, it's just infuriating to see. I mean, they're living off so many things, and I just think, what's the point? This is kind of stupid, you know? Although I will say the good point about it is it did introduce me to some titles that I didn't know about. That's
totally.
The only good thing about it. That's good about it.
That is a great thing about it. It is.
But I will say...
Trainspotting is another movie I like from the 90s.
Okay, I just want to say, somebody mentioned John Hughes films, 80s. They are really good, and they got this. It made a lot of people that were teenagers in the 80s. They finally gave them a film that, oh man, this is something I'm going through. This is maybe I'm able to relate to this. You know, the underdogs, they're being talked about. Molly Ringwald became this champion of, you know, the outcast. You know, somebody that was not the popular kid, and we're making a film about this person, and it made people identify with, and that was cool. And The Breakfast Club, I mean, you had all these different characters that came from, you had the nerd, you had the jock, you had the rebel, you had, in that movie, Molly Ringwald is the popular, you know, princess type, you know.
Well, I would say that.
I don't know, that's kind of cool, and it really shows the perspective of these teenagers, and it takes them seriously, you know?
It's funny
comedy was cool.
It's funny that we were about to speak, and then Max interjected again, like we thought he was taking a pause.
Well, I just
and then,
like,
and
no,
then we
you,
were about to speak, and then I stopped speaking because I was like, oh, Nikon wants to say something,
right,
and then Max interjected.
Wait, I need
like,
to finish
I'll,
my point.
I'll
I just need
this.
I just need to finish my point is, you know, it took these teenagers as and what they had to say seriously. And not only that, I mean, that was more of a dramatic thing, but also comedically too. It took them to be like, oh, hey, we can talk, do teenagers in a funny way too. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Not funny ha-ha, though.
Okay, all right,
it's
man.
It's not funny ha-ha.
Ferris Bueller's Day chuckles. Off? Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Ferris Bueller's Day Off chuckles. Is funny ha-ha. Funny ha-ha for sure.
It is funny
Jennifer
ha.
Grey is so funny in that movie.
I guess I
got
to revisit
movie.
It, to
oh
be
my God, she's hilarious.
And Mr. Rooney is... And his assistant are hilarious.
No, that movie no, is right. Hilarioso.
I wouldn't say hilarioso. I think it's more like...
oh, it's hilarioso. No, it's hilarioso.
I wouldn't say hilarioso either.
I would say hilarioso for sure.
But back to... Okay, so my whole argument for the 90s is that I feel like that was the decade where you got the best of both worlds in terms of indie, like, voice and autonomy in some way with bigger budgets. Because they were being taken seriously, and you had the Weinstein Company.
well, no, doing a lot,
Miramax.
Miramax, yeah, doing a lot to facilitate that, you know. And
sure,
I don't know.
Can I talk about?
Wait, hold on, okay. Hold on, Max.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say this, man. You know, just first of all, it's funny that Max was like. What are you talking about? You're always interrupting me, and we just went let Max just talk for a long time.
Well, because I never really got to say. I feel like I was bringing on.
No, but Max.
Wait a minute. Are you guys twins?
You went on for a really long time,
Nikki. But you were rambling before, as Nikon noticed.
We should have. We should get those chess timers that we stopped, just so we can keep track of how much time each person talks.
We played time chess when we were in middle school. Actually,
did you? All right.
We had a timer actually.
Do you still have it? Well, anyway.
But anyway, okay. What I wanted to say about movies like John Hughes movies and movies from the 80s is, even though I only lived a couple years in the 80s and I really grew up in the 90s, I will say that these movies from the 80s, it makes you feel a nostalgia for things that you didn't even experience. You know, there's something about watching a John Hughes movies that or a John Hughes movie that you feel nostalgic for a time that I didn't even live through, really, you know? And that's an interesting thing, aspect of the 80s. Anyway. But
also... go ahead.
So, Nikon, did you have something more to say about the 90s and your defense of the 90s?
No, it's just, again, like, I just think it's going to come down to Fargo. I liked Fargo a lot. What about you guys?
It's just going to come down to Fargo.
Fargo, it all
yeah,
comes
I know, but you're
Fargo.
Not. You're taking into account the independent film directors. You're not taking into account the Hollywood productions. I mean,
oh man, Michael Bay. Okay, Michael Bay. Say what you will about him, but he made some pretty rad movies in the 90s, and then everything since the 90s, The Rock and Armageddon. That's all I need to tell you. And yeah, actually, Bad Boys.
I don't know about those.
I'm talking about big budget blockbusters.
Okay,
that are
I'm
freaking satisfying. And
okay,
I think
sure.
I do think that was the last. I think that was the last of the. And wasn't it Terminator 2?
That was in.
That's
that,
true. That was
that's
James
end,
Cameron's
end
best
of debate.
Film.
Terminator 2.
Okay, it might be the only. It might. It's one of the few sequels that's better than the part one. Actually,
yeah.
Okay, definitely. But end of debate. But what about Back to the Future 2 or Back to the Future 1? End of debate.
Look, there were great Hollywood productions in both decades.
Look, I will say yes. There. Look again. This. We could just keep arguing and saying, "Oh, what about this movie? What about this movie?"
Yeah.
That's true. But I will say something about the 90s, and this is more the. Latter half of the 90s is
okay.
Things, I'm talking about big budget movies.
Yeah,
they started to overuse music a lot. I know we talked about that a lot in the past,
and it's
but,
made fun of in other movies.
Yeah, you know? And you start to see that. I would say, definitely in the latter half of the 90s, you start to see these Hollywood productions start to, and it's. It's like playing down to your audience to emotionally cue you into how you're supposed to feel, and it's not just insulting on an intelligence level, but it's also intrusive. It's like, why are you ruining this beautiful moment with this music? And it's sappy music.
Speaking of music, what about 80s movies where they just feel compelled to like shoehorn? Like some random pop song by Huey Lewis in the News, because it's like, honestly,
you're targeting Back to the Future.
Well, yeah, Back to the Future is one of the greatest movies of all time. I actually love Huey Lewis, but
it
almost ruins any scene that the song is in.
What are you talking about?
That is not true.
I don't agree with that, actually. It's not overused in that music. And also, they just,
he's in the movie, actually.
He's in the movie. No, but he was hired to write a song for the movie. I mean, that's, what's wrong with that?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I just think, I don't know, it just dates it.
Look,
that's all.
I don't agree with that. I don't think it dates it. Look, I think it's gonna go back in time. I mean, it's not how
Yeah, and the power of love, yeah.
Power of love.
Power of love.
Hold on, Max, come on. Give me a chance here.
I just made Karate Kid 2.
Was that Karate Kid? Was Part the first 2? One in the 80s?
That's the glory of love.
Yeah, the glory of love.
The
first one was in 84, I believe, Karate Kid 1.
Like a light in shining armor.
Well, also has You're the Best around. Ago.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing's going to ever keep me down.
But, you know, what's his
Glory
name?
Glory of Love, Peter Cetera.
Peter Cetera. Oh, what a great song, Glory
That's
of Love.
That's Part 2.
Part it's 2. Anyway, song. It's a great song.
L.A. But, Confidential, great movie in the 90s.
Look, you guys are all making good, you're saying a lot of good films, but you haven't made a case against the 70s, which
was not bogged down
by bad movies as much as I
do think that a lot of movies that are lauded by you know, intellectuals are just not as good as they might have been to a 70s audience.
Example, Animal
I
House.
I can't think of any examples. Gosh. The pacing is different. Yeah, I mean, they pay less attention to certain things that we care more about in a character. I can't think of any specific examples, but
okay.
I mean, you know,
I just don't agree with that. I do think that
I think they pay more.
And I'm not talking about the good movies of the 70s. I'm saying that there are many movies that are critically acclaimed or whatever that aren't necessarily that are just boring to a contemporary.
Why don't you just say it? Mirror by Tarkovsky. Yes, it is boring. I agree.
What's the Coppola movie about the spy or whatever?
Oh, The Conversation?
The Conversation. What is that?
That's a great movie. What are you talking
it's
about?
It's not a great movie.
It is great. I disagree with that.
I got to revisit that too. I just remember watching it and just being like, I get it. There's like some technical cool feats with the audio, but like, ugh. No,
that's not why
I don't care.
I just thought it was intriguing and I just thought, and...
intriguing, sure, but like the pacing and the pacing
was great.
The approach to, I don't know, it was too long ago.
It depends on when you saw it in your lifetime.
Also, what's his face?
Max, what's his name?
I was just talking. Okay, go ahead.
What's his name? What's his face? Well, I want to hear his face now. What's his face?
You know,
and then
Gene Hackman. So good. What an interesting character. He has this interesting dichotomy within himself. He doesn't like people to use the Lord's name in vain, but he's this complex character that's interesting.
That movie in particular...
I thought it was really good.
That movie in particular was influenced by the movie Blow Up by Antonioni.
Sure.
Antonioni, it has more to do with pictures that this photographer is taking, whereas Conversation, it's more audio.
Right.
And what's funny is there's a movie called Blow Out by Brian De Palma with John Travolta, and that was almost kind of very similar to The Conversation.
Well, both are similar to,
but Blow Out is obviously influenced by Blow Up, you know, even in the title of the name. But what I wanted to say was the 90s, I think you're not thinking about the second half of the 90s, which had a lot of, that is when music started being overused in movies. Yes, they had great movies, but if you look at a movie, for example, like Titanic, it is so sappy largely because of the overuse of music.
I also just think it's a sappy story. But anyway,
if there weren't this overuse of, not only is the music overused, but the music itself is sappy. The music by James Horner.
Well, there's also the
and also the Celine Dion stuff.
I love that song. I'm going on record.
I just can't.
In front of all of our friends on Instagram, I love that song. I will pick that at karaoke.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Any night.
Well, no, don't say that. Don't
I'm
say
just
that.
Joking. I'm just joking. Hey, you can like the song if you want.
No, you can just.
But yeah, but there's movies like that where, I mean, even look, Max even pointed this out, and this was a Miramax film too. Look, I really like Shakespeare in Love a lot, but even that had an overuse of music.
I watched
where
it
just thinking, why is there so much music here? It's already a beautiful film. You don't need to undercut it with this overuse of music.
Sure. But again, there were some big budget films that were really great and that will and have stood the test of time. The Matrix, one of the best movies of all time.
Oh my God, The Matrix, yeah.
And that used CGI in a really good way, actually. And it still holds up.
Still holds up.
And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, this was a big, fun movie. I haven't seen it since, you know, maybe a couple years after it came out, but The Sixth Sense was a huge thing. You know, that was kind of the twist
Sixth
ending.
Sense
was you know,
huge.
You
know. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, sure. But as you say, though, but that trend of overuse of music, though, did become a thing. It was also done in the 50s, also, I should mention, or the 40s, or something like that. It was done in older films as well, too, this kind of melodrama. It just makes things melodramatic, you know?
Right.
But it was reintroduced into Hollywood, I feel, though, in the second half of the 90s. Not that everyone did it, and not that...
Yeah, not that everyone did it, and what, you're going to hold the entire decade? You're going to hold it against the whole decade?
Well, you're going to look at you're going to look at every decade, and there's going to be.
Oh, Nikki,
Gemma Leslie said Miramax and Nikki.
I don't want to be associated with that.
Miramax and Nikki.
What about Max? HBO Max has just turned into Max now.
Oh, there you go.
We were joking around how there's going to be another channel called Nikki.
There's always going to be movies in every decade that. You're going to look at it and think, wow, that doesn't hold up well. I mean, as Max pointed out, all these older generation people seem to love Animal House. I watched it during the quarantine, and it's really a bad movie. It doesn't hold up at
all.
It's
dumb.
It's pretty offensive in a lot of ways, and it's dumb. It's not good at all.
It's not good.
And I look, sometimes I like dumb humor, but they don't do it right. In that.
I think the reason that Chaplin, for example, and Buster Keaton, all that kind of stuff are timeless is because
they couldn't talk.
Because they couldn't talk. Yeah, and that's
ruined it for
that's him. Real. Because like so much of verbal comedy is tied to the context of the time and blah blah blah. And you lose so much like when you lose that context. It's hard to relate to the intended humor of something from decades ago.
I agree with you for the most part, but I will bring up the Marx Brothers as an example of
smart,
a group of comedians where they do talk in their movies, and their movies still hold up really well. In fact, they were it's mind-boggling that they were so popular because their humor was so ahead of its time. I mean. Some of their stuff gets so absurd and silly, and you just think, I can't believe people in the 30s could even relate to this sense of humor, because the Marx Brothers, in a lot of ways, are kind of like Stella or, you know, just something really absurd, you know? You would
modernly absurd.
Modernly absurd, like something you would see in Wet Hot American Summer, you know? I mean, it's just, that's what it seems like.
Sure, but I will say some
comedic
of our favorite
nihilism.
Some of our favorite things from the Marx Brothers, I mean, are Harpo kinds of things, who actually doesn't talk, which is interesting. You know,
right.
It's a visual
right.
gag.
That's what I'm saying. That's the universality of it. It's like you don't need to know, like, who was president at the time or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Well,
I like Gemma's idea, though. We should, since we missed a bit of that video, we should just record ourselves just mime talking.
And just use the audio that we have.
40 minutes, yeah.
That would be funny.
Brilliant.
Well,
or puppet
guys,
hands. Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to do the whole.
Oh, the whole thing is puppet hands.
Puppet hands, right? Yeah. Anyway, I think the point of this discussion is that
picking a decade is awful.
Again, you interrupt. It's like you got to give people a chance to talk here, dude.
Well, you were.
Yeah. Yes, the point of the conversation, I think what it highlighted was picking a decade as the best decade for film, you just can't do it because there's great movies and bad movies from every decade.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not trying to, I get the reason you wanted to do it because it gets us talking about these things and all that.
Well, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
But I can't remember who noted this on Instagram Live. Without a moderator, there is a lot of chaos. I guess, right?
But also, how would you even moderate a topic like this one? No, whatever. Every once in a while, free for all is okay.
Well, sure, a moderator can kind of keep things in check a little bit, I think, you know. But,
yeah.
But look, yeah, I know some of my favorite movies are some Disney movies like Mary Poppins or, you know, Cinderella or Pinocchio. And those are a lot older. I mean, Mary Poppins is from the 60s and
West Side Story.
A lot of these movies are from before any of the decades we just said. So I don't know.
Yeah.
By the way,
can I
80s?
Just say, I don't get Jaws. I mean, I get it. I get what the movie's.
I totally agree with you. Why do people love that movie so much? It's not that great, in my opinion.
I think this goes back to the audience at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Their cinematic language wasn't as sophisticated as, you know, every decade. The audience's understanding of
what is possible.
So I think for them, They weren't thinking about how stupid some of the setups are and like why. Okay, you know, there's this like vicious shark that's going around killing people. Like what are we doing in the water? I don't know. I think it goes back to the suspension of disbelief, right?
Right.
And so,
well, you know what's interesting?
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say there's a lower threshold for the suspension of disbelief.
Right.
You know, as you go back in time.
Well, you know what's interesting, Nikon, is that people, I have friends who say Jaws is one of their favorites, if not their favorite movie of all time. And they're our age, you know, and I just think, why? I mean, there's way better movies than Jaws.
Well, but
you know?
I do want to say, though, but you were also mentioning there's a lower threshold the more you go back in time. Wouldn't it be a higher threshold?
There's a lower threshold.
There's a higher threshold.
It's a lower threshold for suspend. The threshold is lower in order for you to suspend your disbelief.
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words, you don't have to suspend your disbelief. I did. It's interesting because I was talking to somebody about West Side Story, and somebody couldn't get beyond the fact that they're fight dancing, and because it's been parodied so much since then, and people just kind of view it as kind of ridiculous now. But I was just thinking to myself, but you don't understand, like, this was the originator, like, this was a huge thing to do at the time. And you kind of also just have to suspend, even somebody just thinking, well, but they're fight dancing. That's ridiculous. I'm like, what do you think ballet is? I mean, that's, ballet is interpreting things through dance. That's what was so cool about West Side Story. They were putting another art form into musical theater that was not really done to that degree before. Anyway.
Yeah, totally.
But people now view it differently, though, you know, because so much time has gone by, and they think, yeah, it's harder for them to suspend their disbelief that would exist in a movie or something, you know.
Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for tuning in.
So who won? I think
we all won. The 80s, I think. Film history won, okay?
Film history won, yeah. And then at a close second, the 80s.
If you like what you heard and saw today, make sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube and make sure to rate and review us on any podcast platform that you're listening to us on. And thank you for tuning in to another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Nikon. Keep tuning in.
Yep, that's right.